like to say a few words of halacha with regard to bris milah. And perhaps we'll be able to get a better understanding of the concept of what bris milah is and its importance in Yadus. The Tesvis Daf Zayin Amar Aleph in Pesachim speaks about a problem that the Rishonim deal with. The problem is why there are two brachas by Mila. You notice there's one bracha that the Moel makes, Asher Kedushan Mitzvayso V'Tzivonu Al Mila, and then there's another bracha which the Avi Aben makes. And that bracha is Lachnisei Bevrisei Shel Avram Avinu. And the Rishonim deal with why you have the two brachas. It's different than other mitzvahs. And there are various reasons. Rabbeinu Tam has an interesting explanation. Question is whether the bracha, what type of a bracha is it? Is it a birkas a mitzvah or is it a birkas shevach? If it's a birkas a mitzvah, it must be done before the milah, like all birkas a mitzvah. If it's a birkas shevach, shevach is always afterwards. If you see a bolt of lightning, you make a bracha, a birkas shevach, always afterwards. But a mitzvah, you always make the bracha before. So Rabbeinu Tam says this is a bracha of shevach. And since it's a bracha of shevach, the bracha is said afterwards. What is the shevach, Rabbeinu Tam says? Why over here do you have a special bracha of shevach? You don't have another mitzvah? So Rabbeinu Tam says a very interesting reason. He says, Mishabeach umodeh l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The man praises God, Shetzivanu al Amilo, Kishetavo liyado, that God commanded us in the mitzvah of Milu when we have the opportunity, the Tiknuo Khan, and why were they misakin this bracha here? Legalos ulahodia, Shezu Amilo nase l'shem yotzreinu, that this Milu is done because l'shem yotzreinu, for God. L'lo l'shem avodah zarah, l'lo l'shem murono, l'lo l'shem agrizim, it's not done for avodah zarah, it's not done for health reasons. It's only done because God commanded us to do it. L'shem yotzreinu, because God gave us the mitzvah. So the question immediately presents itself: why is it that in this mitzvah we have to say a bracha that the milah is not done l'shem avodah zarah? I mean, when a person takes a lulav, does he say a bracha that he's taking a lulav l'shem yotzreinu and not l'shem avodah zarah? Or by shechita, when a person, the Gemara says, a shechita of a guy is no good because we assume it's done l'shem avodah zarah. So do we make a bracha by shechita that we're doing a shechita l'shem yotzreinu, not l'shem avodah zarah? Or by other mitzvahs of the Torah, a person puts on tefillin on it. Why should this be different? Why over here suddenly we make a bracha that's not done l'shem avodah zarah? Well, that's Rabbeinu Tam, at any rate, says that's the reason for the second bracha. There's an interesting Rambam in the end of Hilchos Milah. The Rambam speaks about the importance of Milah, and he quotes a Chazal. Last Rambam in Milah. The Rambam says, Bo rei kama chamura Milah. Take a look at how important Milah is. He says that all the mitzvahs in the Torah, there were only three krisis bris. Three times in the Torah does it mention the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael for the giving of the whole Torah. He says, but Milah, you have 13 krisis bris. Yud Gimel brises, 13 times. So you see that bris Milah is more important, it would seem, than Kala Torah Kula. This doesn't make any sense. I mean, bris Milah is a mitzvah, an important mitzvah. True. But how could you compare it to Kala Torah Kula? Besides, Kala Torah Kula includes bris Milah also. So how is it possible that on bris Milah you have 13 krisis bris and Kala Torah Kula you only have 3? Doesn't make any sense? I think the answer could perhaps be found to both problems, the Rambam's problem and the problem of Rabbeinu Tam, in the preceding Rambam. The Rambam states in Perek Gimel Lacha Ches, Gidoy Lohi Amilo. Milah is very great. Why? Shelo Nikra Avram Avinu Sholem Achemo. Because Avram Avinu was not considered complete until he performed the mitzvah's Milah. Shenema, the Pasuk says, God said to Avram, Hishala Hishalech Lefonai Ve Yesomim. You should walk before me and be whole, be complete. Va'etna brisi beni yevenecha. And then it says, va'etna brisi beni yevenecha. After that, see, so you see what made Avraham Avinu complete? The mitzvah of bris milah. What I'd like to understand is, first of all, what kind of a tzivui is this that God gave to Avraham Avinu? Walk before me and be tamim. What does this mean? What is he supposed to do? What kind of a mitzvah is this? And secondly, what precisely does the word tamim mean? What does it mean, be complete? What exactly does that mean? There's an interesting Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Hilchos Avodah Kechavim. The Rambam speaks about various superstitions that people have. People that say that since the bread fell out of my mouth this morning when I was eating breakfast, so I better not go into business today. It's going to be a bad day. Or the black cat crossed my path. I mean, similar types of things that the Rambam mentions that people who are superstitious live by, and it guides their life. I mean, today, even though it's we think we're living in modern times, but if you take a look in the paper, there's horoscopes, and people look at these things and they believe that certain days are good for them or bad for them. There's various signs and things, all these different types of things. The Rambam talks about it in Hilchos Avodah Kechavim. So the Rambam states at the end of the parak, the Rambam says that all these things, he says, all these types of things, he says, kulam divrei sheker v'chozavein. These are all lies, falsehoods. V'heim shehitu b'hen oivdei kachov ma'kadmoinim l'goy ha'rotzes, k'dei sheyinigu acharayim. He says, the primitive oivdei avodah zarah were the ones that instituted and believed in these types of things, these types of superstitions. And he says, v'heim roi l'Yisrael sheheim chachomim mechukomim. It is not befitting for the Jews who are chachomim, people of wisdom, to follow these type of nonsensical things. The person should not think that there is any value at all in these things. And the Rambam goes on. He says that balei hachochma, utzmimei hadas, people who have knowledge, and people who are tamimei hadas, whose knowledge is whole, complete. Here we have the same word again. The Rambam says, yedu, they know that all these things that the Torah asked have no value. He says, and these are things which destroy a person's life because it takes them away from the truth. And then the Rambam concludes, he says, mutneze amra Torah, ki shehizhiro al kol elo havolim. That's why the Torah, when it talks about these types of things, these superstitious practices, the Torah says, "Tomin tia imad Hashem alokecha." You should be complete with God. Here again, the word is "Tomin tia imad Hashem alokecha." The same word, "Tomin." Avraham Avinu received the tzivu, "Salech lefonai veyesomin," and over here also, "Tomin tia imad Hashem alokecha." The same exact tzivu. But here, the Rambam explains what it means. What does "Tomin" mean? If you define the word tamim in the context in which the Rambam mentions it over here, I think you can understand what it means. You see, most people in life live a dichotomized existence. One part of them accepts reality, but then there's another part that is superstitious. So they're really broken in two. Part of them lives one way, part of them lives another way. In business, they try to use their intelligence, their mind. But then suddenly something occurs. Well, this is a different thing. Now we have to different area. So various superstitions take over, superstitious practices. That's not tumim. Tumim means complete. That's a person that's split in two, dichotomized individual. Yishalech lefonai veyesumim means a person should be complete, means as follows. That in yadus, there is no room in Yadus for an unruly part of the personality to take control of an individual and to direct and to guide him. There's no such thing. There's only one part of the personality that must guide him. What part is that? That is the part, the element in man that's related to God. What element is that? That's the element with which we have a conception of Torah. Because we say, "V'ahavta Eisad Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'adecha." You should love God with all our heart. What does it mean? "V'shinan tam levanecha." So Rashi says, why v'shinantam levanecha? Because how are you makir? How do you recognize God? Because v'hoyu advar mo'ela asher anos mitzav kol yom alavavecha v'shinantam levanecha. V'hoyu advar mo'ela is the next pasuk. How do you love God? Through Torah, through knowledge of Torah. That element in man, that part of the human personality, which learns Torah, and which understands Torah, and which is Mekayim, through which we are Mekayim, the love of God, this part of the personality is the only part of the personality that must be in control. Nothing else can have any say in anything we do. His halech lefonai ve'yes omim, tomim tiyah emad Hashem alakech, it should be complete. What does complete mean? Complete means that the person has only one ruling principle in the soul. This ruling principle is control of everything. It's complete. A person who is not complete means that there are reservations in the personality. There are parts of the personality that operate on their own, that influence alien forces, that influence the individual. That's not a tumim. So what really is the mitzvah of tumim tiyeh emad Hashem alakecha? It means that Avram Avinu, of his salech lefonei ve'yesamim, Avram Avinu was makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He recognized God. And the Rambam explains that he used to go, when he was younger, he used to go with the Avdei Avodah Zarah, with his father, he used to go to their churches, and he used to worship also. He was a youngster, he didn't know. Then he started to think to himself, what is going on here? And he was a tremendous chacham, a very wise person. And he started to think, this is all nonsense. Everything these people are doing has no basis whatsoever. And these people are giving their lives for something which is worthless. And they're giving their children's lives. They're killing themselves. Their children. For what? There's no basis for anything they're doing. He recognized it was a tremendous chacham. And he told the people, you're throwing your lives away for nothing. And then he told them, but there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. He explained to them that there is a source of the whole creation. But the way he explained it was not a crazy, not the nonsensical superstitions that they had, but it was Eil al Hadas, was something which made sense, because it was Chochmah, Chochmah Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Hishalech lefonai ve'yesamim. There should not be any part of your personality at all that is deviates from this principle. The ruling part of the soul must be exclusively that part that's Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Makir me. Hishalech lefonai. Walk before me. How does a person walk before God? He walks before God by relating to God. It means he's constantly relating to God. Ve'yeh summon. Don't let anything, any part of your personality deviate from this principle. Your whole life should be guided just by this. Every move, every motion. That was the mitzvah. Now it's an interesting thing. The Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam states that in regard to Mila, Bris Mila, so the Rambam says that physiologically, on a physiological basis, from a medical standpoint, the Rambam says, the truth of the matter is that the uncircumcised person is more perfect. He says, because there's nothing in nature that has any fault. Nothing. So if a person is born uncircumcised, that is the most perfect way to be. So why do we do mitzvahs mila? Why do we do mila? Because on the contrary, he says, Mila makes us less perfect physically, but it makes us more perfect spiritually. You see, what does Mila represent? The Rambam explains that the mitzvah of Mila represents a reduction of the instinctual drive, a taking away from the person, reduction of the drive. So what really does that, what does that represent? It represents the conquest of the spiritual over the instinctual. From where do all the superstitious notions and the crazy ideas that a people have given their lives for, the ridiculous notions, come from? It comes from the instinctual part of man. What is mitzvahs mila? Mitzvahs mila is conquest over the instinctual. That what should reign, what should rule in a person's life? Only one thing. That part of the soul that's makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing else. The instinctual should be totally put down and be totally be subservient to this ruling element of the soul. So what does mitzvahs mila represent really? Mitzvahs mila represents the institution in man of the ruling element, the establishment of the ruling element of the soul, that part of the soul that's makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the subservience of the instinctual. That's what Mitzvah Mila represents. That being the case, we can understand what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that Kol HaTorah Kula, you only have three Krisis Bris. But Mitzvah Mila, you have 13. Why? Because this concept that a person must have in his soul a ruling element that's Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that part that's Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be in control, this is the basis of everything. Without this, you don't have anything. What good would Torah do you if the person is imperfect? Before you have Kabbalah Satara, you must have an individual who is in line with the precepts of the Torah, who's capable of being the Kabbal Torah. So you must have a person whose ruling element of the soul is that part of man which is Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing else. The instincts must be subservient. And if you don't accomplish that, then what is Kabbalah Satara? So the reason why the Rambam says that Bris Milah is Yud Gimel Brisos is very simple, because that's the basis of Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the basis of the human personality that is Mekabel Torah. Once you have that, then Torah comes into the picture. There's three Krisis Bris with Torah. But the 13, the Yud Gimel Krisis Bris is the Krisis Bris with establishing, with regard to establishing the Gavra, the personality that's capable of accepting Torah. That's why the halach is by bris. It's not just the maisa bris, but it's making a gavra ben bris. What is a ben bris? A ben bris means it represents a certain personality, certain type of individual, certain mentality. That's why the Rambam says that Avraham Avinu was lo nikra sholem until he was mekayem mitzvahs mila, because mitzvahs mila represents that perfection. And the reason why it was given to Avram, Bris Milah was given to Avram, is because he was the individual who accomplished that fantastic feat. Yishalech lefonai ve'yesomim in all ways. I mean, we could think that we're tomim to degree, but it's not true. There are certain unruly parts that we have in all our personalities. But Avram Avinu was perfected. He was a tomim. That was his level. And that's why Rabbeinu Tam says, only by Bris Milah, Rabbeinu Tam says, that the second bracha was instituted. What is the second bracha? Second bracha is that we're not doing this l'shem avodah zara for any other purpose, only l'shem yetzreinu. Why over here? Because this is the only mitzvah that the very definition... This is the only mitzvah in the Torah that the very definition of the mitzvah is to put down the instinctual forces that lead to avodah zara and all other nonsense. That's the definition of the mitzvah. So the reason why we say the bracha is because the bracha defines the mitzvah. That's what the bracha is. Bracha defines the mitzvah. L'shem Yitzreinu. Machnisa Grisha Avraham Avinu. We're doing this because this mitzvah represents perfection, human perfection. And what is human perfection? It's halach lefonei v'yesomim. Human perfection in one word is it's halach lefonei v'yesomim. That's perfection. It means that all other parts of the personality should be subdued, and that the only reigning part should be that element that's Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Avraham Avinu. That's why you make that bracha. Because what is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is where the instinctual goes wild. Avodah Zarah represents an instinctual outburst and control. The ruling element is not that part of the soul that's the highest element. That's the opposite situation. And that's why Rabbeinu Tam says you make that bracha. Comes out that in order to understand and really to appreciate Bris Milah, a person has to be a person that's Asig B'Torah, that sits and learns Torah, that appreciates Torah. And I just want to mention that that's why you have really two times in Torah where there's a Yechiv Kars for an Asay. And one is by Mila and one is by Karban Pesach. Why? Because you see these two things are really the two components of Kol HaTorah Kula. One is the philosophy of Torah. One is the Gavra, one is the individual, that's Mila, and the other one is the system. Karban Pesach, Shis Mitzrayim, is the system. So the system really, that's why the system is only three Krisis Bris, but the Gavra is 13. The Gavra you can have before the system. You see, you had the Avos, you had before the system, so they still lived the proper life. Then you have the system itself. But of the two, which is greater? The bris, the gavra.
Can I just read the very kind of thing? Tell me. said, one of his 50 chance jones is an asterisk. He doesn't like the burglary. So, I was just thinking, to think a little bit about the area, if I could come up with some idea about Tijuana Ben. And the following is what I was thinking about. The idea of Tijuana Ben is, Dr. Rosner mentioned, that the Jewish Bechorim were saved and the Bechorim of the Mitzrayim were slaughtered. But if you go back to the Pesukim, so the Pasuk says, Vayomer Moshe, Ko amar Hashem, kachatzos halayla ani yotzei b'sof Mitzrayim, umeis ko b'chor b'erf Yisrael. Mibchor paro ha-yoshev al kiso, ad b'chor ha-shifcho, asher achar re'choyim, b'chor b'chor b'hemor. So, it would seem from the Pasuk quite clearly that Makas B'choros was meant that the B'chorim Mitzrayim were destined to be destroyed. But nowhere is there an implication that the that has anything to do with the Bechor Yisroel. You would see, prima facie at least, that the Makas Bechoras was simply for the Bechor Mitzrayim. So the question arises, that being the case, you see, not only that, but the Makas Bechoras, it says, Ani Yotzei B'Sof Mitzrayim. And, you know, like the Balagoda says, Lo Yedei Malach, Lo Yedei Sorach, before the Rashi mentioned it a few times. So the concept is that this nace of Makas Bechoros is different than the other nisim. Like, for instance, the nace by Arba. So a wind, the Pasuk says, blew the Arba. Or even Kriyas Yamsuf was the Vayolach Hashem Ruach Kodim. But over here, it would seem there was no natural intermediary, because there couldn't be a natural intermediary that would affect just the Bechor, not anybody else. It would seem that it necessarily that ni ba'atzmi would mean loy de malach, loy de shasora, loy de shaliach ala karsh baruch hu ba'atzmo. So if that's the case, so the Bechorei Mitzrayim were destined to die, not the Bechorei Yisrael. It has nothing to do with it. It's Makas Bechoros, not Makas Bechoros, every Bechor. It would seem logical that the Makas was limited or relegated to the Bechorei Mitzrayim. So if that's the case, so what does the Pasuk mean when it says that the Kiriko Bechor, the Yom HaKosi called Bechor Beretz Yisrael, Dashti Osamli, it would seem like the Bechor is chayev in some kind of redemptive action because he himself was under the Gzera. Where do we find that he was under the Gzera? Moreover, even if we should say that for some reason that the Bechorei Yisrael were included, but then there's another question. Because what is the Tam of the Korban Pesach? Because it says, "Amatam zevach pesach u'lashem asher posach al botei bnei Yisrael b'mitzrayim b'nog po es mitzrayim v'zboteinu hitzim." So it would seem that the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is really not just for the Bechor, but it's for the whole, for everybody. And it doesn't seem to be any difference in the inherent chi of a mitzvah, whether it's the Bechor, it doesn't even seem that the Mechayev is the Bechor. It seems that every Yisrael is chayev in Korban Pesach. So the question is, that if it was in fact a gzeira on all the Bechorim from which the Yisraelim was saved, the mitzvah should essentially be for the Bechorei Yisrael. I mean, it should be a mitzvah for the Bechor. But it shouldn't be that's Bateinu Yitzil, but that's Bechoreinu Yitzil. But the Pasuk seems to say clearly that it's a mitzvah, I mean, without a question, on everybody, and it's that's Bateinu Yitzil means the whole bias. So I was thinking in terms of the understanding this question, that when we look at a makkah, we must look at two aspects of the makkah. One aspect is the structure of the makkah, the miracle, the mofes. That was something which God intended to impress the Mitzrim with, in terms of the awesomeness of the makkah and how the makkah took place. Makkah is awesome, but there is, aside from the awesomeness of the makkah, there is something specific about a makkah. And it would seem that the Makas Bechoros is set aside from all the other makkahs. Not just in terms of the fact that it was the most devastating, you see, or the most miraculous, and lo yedei malach, lo yedei shaliach, lo yedei sorach, but there was a special message involved in Makas Bechoros. Why were the Bechorim chosen to be smitten? And I think the answer is because of what the Bechor represents. The Bechor traditionally represented an individual who took over for the father, just like a person, for instance, has a business, so he expects his sons to take over. The eldest son is looked upon as the one who is most appropriate. And you see, the avoda was the Bechorah. The Bechorah represented, really, the Bechorah represented the forthcoming leaders of the nation. So when God smote the Bechorah Mitzrayim, it wasn't simply the miracle and the awesomeness and the devastation of the fact that Ein Bayis Asher Ein Sham Meis, but there was a message there also. And the message was that this society, this idolatrous society, Egyptian society, must be stopped. And the Bechor, those who represent the future leaders, the ones who are to carry on this way of life, they are to be destroyed. They are to be decimated. So in Makas Bechoros, there was really a message that was given to the Egyptian people. And that is that their society must be stopped, and their Bechorim, their leaders, must be removed, so that this type of society does not continue. It was a message that was incorporated in the Makkah. In the awesomeness and in the miraculousness of the Makkah, the Egyptians received this message. Now it's interesting. There's a Rashi that says, in Bo Yud Beis Vav, so Rashi mentions when they took the Korban Pesach, so he says, they took it, of course, on the 10th day of the month. So they had 4 days to look over the behemoth, to see if they were had a moon. So of course Rashi asks, I mean, why, what are these 4 days? We don't have to have 4 days to look over the moon. What was the necessity of 4 days? So Rashi gives an interesting answer. He quotes the Chazal. It says like this. It says, the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, V'evor alayach, God says, V'erech v'ne'itech eis dodim, God looked over Bal Yisrael and saw this is the time to redeem the Jews. And he says, Higiyah shvur she'nishbati lavrum she'egal asbono, V'lo hoyu b'yodam mitzvos, v'es'asek b'hem. They didn't have any mitzvos, k'dei she'yigavu, in order that they should be redeemed. So that's why God gave them 2 mitzvos, Korban Pesach and Milah. And Rashi continues, he says like this. He says, V'shehoyu shtufim be'elumim, that the Jews were sunken in idolatry. The Jewish nation itself was sunken in idolatry at that time. And Rashi says, Omar lahem, mishchu kechulachem tzon. What does it mean? Mishchu yedechem e'elumim, withdraw your hands from idolatry. U'kechulu tzon shel mitzvah. Take a say of mitzvah. This is very reminiscent of the Rambam's concept in the Mor Nevucha, very beautiful Chazal. What Chazal is saying is like this, that the truth of the matter is that not only were the Egyptians steeped in idolatry, but the Jewish people that lived in that society were also involved, because they were affected by their surroundings. So actually, they weren't really worthy of redemption. So the fact that Makas Bechoros was a simon, was a symbol, a symbolic of the fact that this nation shouldn't have any forthcoming leaders, that was really Roy, that Klal Yisrael also should be included in that Gzeirah. Because they were also shtufei aliyim. They were also involved in idolatry. They were also affected by the society. But there was one thing that saved them. What saved them was that they were capable of following the mitzvah of mishchu yedechem e'elilim, which means that they could remove themselves from the force of idolatry, from the emotions, from the primitive emotions of the Egyptians, and they could in turn take their religious instincts and direct it to a mitzvah, which is a cheftzah, an entity which God gave them, and which required his askus and chokhma, and brings them closer to God. So that's why they were able to be saved. So really, the concept of Makas Bechoros was that this nation did not deserve to have any leaders. That went for everyone, that was Shufei Zimah, including the Jews. But there was one thing that saved Klal Yisrael. That was Mishru, the fact that they were able to remove themselves from their idolatrous tendencies, and instead to direct their energies to a mitzvah, to a concept of a mitzvah, a halacha, the concept of halacha, the concept of doing an action which was given by God with all its chokmah, understanding it, and being involved in it, and preparing days in advance what the halacha is and what the, and then going through the chakiras of what to do and what all the halachas of Korban Pesach. Many, many Mishnayos and all the Gemaras and all the halachas that we have with regard to Korban Pesach. That takes days in advance. And it's interesting. Rashi corroborates this pshat because Rashi says later that when they placed the dom on the Pesach, they didn't place the dom on the outside. You see, the dom was not placed, the blood was not placed on the outside of the door. On the contrary, it was placed on the inside of the doorpost. Because the pasuk says, "V'hoya adom lachem, v'hoya lachem l'mishmeres." The pasuk says, "V'hoya adom lachem la'os, lachem la'os." So Rashi says, "V'lo la'acherim la'os." It wasn't a sign for anybody else, only for the Jews. Mikan shelo nasnu adom ela mibifnim. Then it says, "V'ra'isi as adom." God says, "And I will see the dam." Hakol goli lafonu. What does it mean God will see the dawn? Everything is revealed before God. Hello, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, no sin on the yes enai. Liros sha'atem asukim b'mitzvosai. Ufoseach ani aleich. You see, if the dawn was supposed to be on the outside, then it might smack of some type of superstitious avodah zorah tendencies, that this is a magical object that protects them. But God didn't want that. So therefore, the mitzvah was on the contrary. The dawn is on the inside. Not, it doesn't satisfy those type of emotions. But and what does it mean, Varisi as Adam? What does Varisi as Adam? God sees the dam? No, it means Hakol Golu Lefonah. God sees that the Jews are involved in the mitzvahs, that they understand what a halacha is and what a mitzvah is, and they recognize the concept of Torah bringing them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then Ufasachti Alech. So really, the concept in Makas Becharos was that the Jews were able to be saved, and not just the Bechorim, but the Makas Bechoros reflected the entire society, that they were able to be saved through their acceptance and through their ability to direct their tendencies and their emotional energy towards a Chesed Shel Mitzvah, towards understanding the medium of Mitzvah, which is the reason why the Bechorim, that's what it says, that's why everybody's saved in Korban Pesach, and that's why really the that which saved the Bechorei Yisrael was the fact that God gave them that mitzvah. And that's why we're chayiv in pidyon Bechor. Because if it weren't for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jews that mitzvah, taught them what a Chesed Shel mitzvah was, then they would have also been included in the gezer which was represented by the Makas Bechorei.